This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Well, good morning. What's up, Kenny? It's good to see you. Good to talk to you here. We might have some sleuthing to do. Did you ever see that Netflix documentary, Don't Bleep with Cats?
I think that was one of those I started and didn't get very far.
There's a couple that fall flat.
People raved about
that. One was good. That one was a good one. There's that Hotel Cecil. That one fell really flat. Like I was mad at the end of it. I wasted 3 hours. Might need some sleuthing here. You're gonna have to help us through this because you did some research yesterday as you were getting a tooth extracted, and then you did some more. You gave us your evidence on your research earlier before the show. So, speaking of all these QBs, right? And we got some Guardian stuff coming up. We got some Cavs stuff coming up. But somebody's tough talking about the Cavs, and I think they might be right about it. Anyway, there's a Twitter account. You know what? You're going to have to do this because I didn't do it. You got to explain this. Good luck. Folks, turn your radio up and try your best. I know it's early. Try your best to concentrate. That's going to get weird here. Go ahead.
This one's bizarre. So there was a story yesterday that got widely circulated that Deion Sanders, the coach of Colorado, the father of Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
As we are now officially less than a month until the NFL draft.
Wow.
Deion Sanders was a keynote speaker at a conference in Chicago at the famed McCormick Place, Kenny, just southeast of Soldier Field.
Okay.
I'm sure you've driven by it 1,000 times.
I actually haven't. The only time I've driven through Chicago is with you.
So, little did we know when we were going by McCormick Place and their famed conference halls.
They would later on have news that shakes the world.
Yes, that would be delayed a week because no one had the sense to report any of this if it had actually happened. And I put a huge asterisk by this. So, we do know a few things. That it is reported, again, almost a week later, that Deion Sanders said, let's hope it's New York, when asked about whether or not he had wishes of where his son would end up.
He said, let's hope it's New York?
According to...
Let's hope it's New York.
Yeah. And presumably meaning the New York Giants. I guess that technically could be the other New York team.
Now, if you want to go to New York, you don't want to go to the Jets.
I'm just saying. There's two different teams. Who knows? Who knows? Remember, it has been a year of, well, Deion's only going to let his kid go to certain places.
Yeah. Well, that's changed, but either way.
Yeah. So well, has it changed? Who knows?
Nevertheless, he had said, what now? He had said, let's hope it's New York.
Yeah, let's hope it's New York.
All right, I'm writing all this down here.
All right, so they provide, every single story provides what's the name of the link.
So it was at a conference. This was this is at McCormick Place in Chicago, and it's called, it's a global supply conference is what you're saying?
Supply chain conference called global ProMat.
ProMat.
And indeed, the ProMat 2025... March 17th through the 20th. Love, on a side note, Kenny, do you have any buddies? We don't really go to broadcasting conventions. They do have them, but who's paying for them, right? Like
the Barrett.
The bosses
pay for it.
Yeah, conferences in other realms of business. I have buddies that go all the time, and it just turns into a bender.
Like it's, you mean a conference that starts on St. Patrick's Day in Chicago?
But do you think the supply chainers were going nuts?
I think they were supplying some beers to their
mouth. Maybe that's why it didn't break. Maybe they were too drunk or whatever to be able to put any news out about it. I could understand that. So you have all these people that aren't necessarily sports people at a conference where Deion Sanders, Pro Football Hall of Famer, is one of the keynote speakers. And it goes into detail about how since retiring from professional sports, Sanders became an analyst for CBS Sports and has all his different jobs, about his docuseries, Prime Video, which follows Sanders and his college football journey. It doesn't really say anything beyond that. Normally in these bios, it'll say, well, this is why we think he's a great keynote speaker, and this is why you should attend, and this is why you should have your business pay a lot of money and get you to travel to this place. Deion absolutely did talk at a conference.
Yes, he did.
It was last Wednesday.
Okay. So those are all true statements.
That is true. After that, we don't have a lot of facts. We don't know. We have one individual in particular who allegedly, and I'll explain why I say allegedly in a second, put out a picture of Deion Sanders sitting at the ProMat conference, as one would do if they were the keynote speaker.
Yeah.
Deion is sitting there. Are you looking at the picture, Kenny? He looks very comfortable.
Yeah.
He's in a white
bottle
chair.
Of water next to him, the whole thing. Yeah, he's looking good.
What color suit would you say that is?
That looks like a khaki colored. Yeah. Maybe that might be
maybe
corduroy.
Even maybe. And
Suede.
Then he's got lasers in the background like it were a late 80s, early 90s class picture.
But they show the big screen. So is he live there, or are they having him like
that could be closed
videoed
circuit.
In.
Could be.
Yeah.
The demand for Deion Sanders, Kenny, could be
so
at
high.
Such a level that people were relegated to other conference rooms to watch. Who's to say? But the person that borrowed the, quote, picture is this Marshall Green. Do you know anything about Marshall Green,
Kenny? Never heard
of
him until now.
Well, of course, he's at Chat Sports, New York Giants now with 65,000 subs, and the New York Knicks now 60,000 subs and a host. He is also a, quote, content creator from Dallas, Texas.
All right.
He has a YouTube channel. The problem is that he is crediting this John Sokol, who is out of Dallas, Texas, for the picture. But when you go to John Sokol 14 out of Dallas, Texas,
all right,
and you go to his Twitter feed, there is no picture from a week ago. All you have now is this John Sokol 14 retweeting all these stories involving his alleged picture that was picked up from the other dude from Texas, Marshall Green. So you'd almost wonder if you had a eye for conspiracy, Kenny, which I know people do at times.
All right.
That these guys might have concocted something and they're just... They started a never-ending loop
ladies
of referencing
and
each
gentlemen,
other.
Do we have a slippery wizard type story boiling up in New York?
Well, this got picked up everywhere. It got picked up by the New York Post. It got picked up by Complex Sports. It got picked up everywhere. Now, we do have the John Sokol 14, again, allegedly the creator of the photo of Deion Sanders.
Well, I'm looking through John's Twitter account.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of Kamala Harris.
No, I'm noticing that too, and I'm glad you picked up on it. We'll talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
He did respond. So somebody who is a little curious and skeptical, Cross 420, says, so out of everyone that went to an event with Deion himself being there, not one person has a video. I'm not saying you're lying yet, but definitely questionable because it's been noted there's no video of the clip. Like, anytime something like this happens, we immediately text Mitch. Well, Mitch, go find the clip. Mitch, did you attempt to find the clip yesterday?
For about a half hour.
Yeah. And where did it lead you?
Nowhere.
Because he knew if he didn't have that clip and that clip was out there, oh boy.
Did you go on a similar fact-finding mission that we are going on now on the air?
I went on to some of the most third-party of third-party sites to try and find this clip, and I couldn't get anywhere.
Did you go to the dark web?
Might have taken a trip there.
Whoa.
Lucky to be alive.
Don't act like you've never been to the dark web.
Did you go to any national security small group encrypted text threads with Pete Hedseth?
Okay. Setting the tone is on Friday.
I'm just asking. Anyway, so you weren't able to uncover anything.
None.
Nothing.
Okay. It seems like you really did a deep dive there, Mitch. You have a lot of good information.
Did you do it? Did you really give me a half hour? Did you give me a half a minute looking for that? Did
half
you?
An hour. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he did some sleuthing and tried to look around, but you've done this is good. I think Lime. I think you might be on to something.
So famed
here.
John Sokol 14 responded to the individual questioning the authenticity of any of this. He says, "No, I understand where people are coming from. The conference actually is supposed to email us information from the different sessions we attended as we had to scan a QR code before entering each of them. Gonna reach out and see if video from the keynote session will be included." And then Cross responds, "Interesting. So a week ago, but not one clip anywhere." And John responds, "I'm the one who took the photo. Again, being at a supply chain conference, I didn't expect that particular question about where he wants his son to get drafted to be asked, so wasn't videoing at the time." Which actually, I actually can understand that. If a bunch of business dudes from around the country, or maybe around the globe, are at a conference, and they're like, "Deion Sanders, I've heard of that guy. I'm not a sports fan, but he's on TV. Look at his bio when you go to the actual website." Like, all right. I'll go to that. We got to go to like four of these today. Let's mix it in between lunch. We got our coupon for some deep dish pizza. Like, I'm a little hungover from last night. We got after it.
Would you like to enter all this in this as evidence?
I think so. Yes. I think it must.
Well, counselor, your floor.
Folks, what I think we have here is somebody that's fooling around on the internet. And what I think we have here is Mr. Lima has uncovered a deep web of silliness. Because I'm going down this one. He's tweeting back at people. Okay, tough guy.
Oh, yeah. Now it's just, fifth grade juvenile fighting. So, Mitch, what I need you to do, find John Sokol 14. Because I did a Facebook search. I couldn't find him. I'm wondering, okay, is there a chance? I want to give some benefit of the doubt here. Is there a chance that John Sokol 14 had sent a picture to his buddy Marshall, who also lives in Dallas, is like, "Hey, I think we have news here," and just like realized it at some point, and that's it. And then this Marshall Green ran with it a week later.
Look at the bottom two. Are those the same people?
Owen's actually, in all seriousness, Owen's very good at internet stuff.
I can't tell.
Yeah, it's
pretty close.
Because the guy on the left is like my headshot from 15 years ago.
So the guy on the left is the John Sokol. That's the John Sokol in question from X Twitter. Yeah.
And the John Sokol on the right, a LinkedIn profile, looks very little different, right. A little more professional, a little aged over time.
I'm not
seasoned.
Saying it's not a real person, but
so again, what we know, Deion Sanders absolutely spoke at this press conference.
Yeah,
I guess all this is to ask the question, Kenny, if he said that, we're hoping for New York, does that change, let's say we took it at face value, does that change any of the conversations? Some people were jumping to the conclusion that, Deion knows he's not going to the Browns already. So
maybe
they're starting to think about the next group of teams.
That's a possibility. It's also a possibility. They've just always been kind of hoping it's New York. I mean, he did wear Giants colored cleats at some workout or something like that a while ago. So,
and I've always wondered if Deion Sanders was wielding his power like people thought he would over the last 6 months, would it benefit anybody to leak out that information? Would it benefit the Browns if Deion was like, "I don't want him playing in Cleveland"? Does that benefit? Yeah, it makes Deion look worse. It makes Shador potentially look worse. You could go with the story that's toxic. Also, kind of makes the Browns look worse. No, like you already had Myles Garrett say he didn't want to play in Cleveland, and that didn't make us look too good for a while. So I've always wondered.
Why does it make them look worse if they say New York?
Just if you have draft prospects coming out saying they don't want to play.
Yeah, but there's plenty of people who don't want him there. So I don't think that's going to bother anybody.
Sure,
that's not going to bother them.
That's been one of the biggest fears for Browns fans over the last decade since we've been talking about top picks. Like, we were worried about Myles Garrett not wanting to come here all those years back. What if he's trying to get to the Dallas Cowboys? And I remember that. Like, what are we ever going to do if we take somebody and they just flat out, Eli Manning, don't want to play here? So I think there would be a lot of bad to go around. I'm just wondering, if that ever was really the case, that Deion was trying to wield that power, would we know? Would we definitely know? Like, if Deion went to the Browns and said, just, guys, I respect you guys, but just don't take them.
Yeah, you would try to do that. Well, when did John Elway originally do it? When did Eli Manning originally do it? Those two guys. Like, it's like, hey, I'm going to give you plenty of time to make a move because we're not going to play. I know the we part bothers everybody, but yeah. Okay. Like, John Elway's dad was very involved in John Elway's future, and John Elway's dad was also a football coach. Obviously, Eli Manning's father was very involved in their future. So, yeah, they do say we. They would probably give you ample time to possibly move out.
If anything, they're doing you a solid, right?
Yeah, or because this is where it could be. And I let me finish my part up here. Is that I've long said I'd like to trade down. If you don't want to take Shedeur Sanders, fine. I'd like to trade down and take Abdul Carter. But who's going to really trade up if they don't really want Shedeur Sanders? Except for the Giants. Do the Giants really want him? Do they want him at three? They really want to do that? Like, I'm not sure. I have no idea.
Isn't that one of the crazy things about the Shedeur Sanders conversation? Normally, when we are talking about the second best quarterback, at least according to most, the second best quarterback in a draft, there is never really discussion of them slipping into the second round,
yes.
Which is what we've now. There's a campaign. It kind of seems
blows my mind.
Like a coordinated campaign.
Like, I've compared everybody compares the Browns and Jets. I look at the Browns and Giants. I'm like, guys, good God. And especially now. Got Jameis who was here, now Jameis is over there. You have a coach and a general manager who are on the hot seat. You have a coach and a general manager who are on the hot seat. And they're neither of them are interested in that quarterback at three, two, or three. Neither of them are. Very, very odd to me. Very odd.
Owen, were you able to reach out on LinkedIn to John Sokol 14?
Yes.
Mitch, this was your job. What happened yesterday?
I am juggling a number of things right now.
He's got more tournaments to get to.
Well, it turns out on LinkedIn, he also lists him as a professional juggler. So.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Yesterday, we saw the reveal of something kind of special for this Cleveland Cavaliers season, which also has been special. The latest edition of Slam Magazine featuring the Cavaliers' backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. As you can pick up the newest issue today, I want to play this clip for you guys. It surfaced yesterday in an exclusive interview with Mitchell and Garland for the magazine. Darius talking about his game winner against the Pistons a few weeks ago and how his one special connection he had in that contest.
That was a big moment for me.
That was a f*** you to everybody. I'm sorry. Opposed the whole, somebody was talking smack the whole game. Forget the play that we drew up, coach. I got it. So that's what that was.
I mean, it was against one of our former coach too, which made it like 1,000 times better.
Oh, wow. That's strong.
I used to have,
goodness gracious,
Slam Magazine. I used to have Street and Smith's. I used to cut out. Remember, I had one of Kobe Bryant, his rookie year, cut out and on my wall. This was before it then went from sports stars to Maxim pinups.
I was a Playboy subscriber, and I read the articles, and people make jokes, and I go, no, 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 no. If I'm paying for a subscription, I'm going to read the articles. The articles are really good. The fashion stuff, obviously, I never got because I'm wearing a hoodie again and, you know, jeans. I never really got the fashion stuff because the belts were like $700. I go, who wears this?
Yeah. Yeah. And the colognes.
Who wears this?
They had
stuff?
The expensive colognes.
The
colognes,
yes.
Too.
But yeah, I read the articles. I had an ESPN, the magazine subscription. Yeah, this is really good audio here by these guys.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right in their former coach's face. That's some strong stuff. That's some real trash talk right there. Hey, you got to be tough. You're acting like tough guys. You got to talk tough. Got to do that.
I saw the NBA internet has become very cruel over the four-game losing streak with the Cavs. Like, they're calling them the Atlanta Hawks. Went over that yesterday.
Yeah.
So we debunked a lot of that yesterday. It's insane that you would try to compare the two. But again, till they win, they talked about not having team success. Right? Like the fact that they know they have to get over the hump, and the timing of the story and the cover, it just couldn't have come out any other week in the year, any other day of the year. This would have been awesome and a celebration. Instead, the way the NBA world works, as cruel as it is they get dumped on because it comes out right after the losing streak.
Well, it's also, you know, those Atlanta teams ran into some juggernauts. So it wasn't like they weren't really good. Like, I know it seems unfair and nasty to do that, but like if they go and they play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals and they get beat in five games again, guess what you're going to see again? Like, guys, it's just going to happen. Like that's what makes the NBA so great but also so frustrating is this type of trash talk. Like I was driving in, I go, man, you can't – like I know what I've said about Kendrick Perkins in the past and I stand by it, but like when Patrick Beverley says what we're going to play at 7 o'clock about the Cavs – it's like, I can't just rip on every single guy who says something nasty about the Cavs. Because we love all these NBA guys until they tell us, and they have their way of telling us, and it's never a nice way. It's never dancing around the issue. It's always straight and to the point and very nasty.
I'm happy you brought up the Boston Celtics, because we did have them play the Sacramento Kings last night. A victory for Boston, 113-95. But the story of the game, Jason Tatum landing on Domantas Sabonis' foot and going out with what is believed to be a left ankle sprain. However, head coach for the Celtics, Joe Mazzulla, saying he's going to be okay, even though this might be something we may have to look forward to here in the next couple of weeks going into the playoffs. Could Boston be going through some of these same injury issues the Cavs have had in the past?
Well, could they hold out Tatum and still be okay? They could probably do that, and they'd probably be all right. So I don't think it's that big of an issue just yet. Of course, they could reevaluate, and it could be the size of a grapefruit by the time they get to that, so we'll figure it out.
This is precisely what you... If you're a Cavs fan, you're monitoring down the stretch. Like, you can have all the confidence in the world that the Cavs are going to figure it out. They're going to get their shooting back. In the end, they still got to go toe-to-toe with Boston. And the question we've always wondered is Porzingis going to be healthy for that series? If he's healthy for that series, no one's going to pick you. But if Porzingis is not healthy, then it opens up everything. Well, if Jason Tatum or any of the other guys are hobbling, it changes things too, obviously.
When Porzingis is Porzingis, he's Alexander the Great. And if you have Jason Tatum out, like I will take injury help. I'm not rooting for injury, because that's always comes back on you and ends up doing bad things for you. But I will take injury help here, because again, a lot of people have kind of gone off that Cavs bandwagon. I was getting help. I did not guarantee a win over the Suns.
We
last
talked
week.
About whether it was a must-win game.
It was a must-win, and because people would freak out, and guess what? They didn't win it, and people freaked out. So it was a must-win, even though they came back and beat Utah like crazy on Sunday.
That's a good thing they won, too, because that practice story would have been hell to pay come Monday morning.
Ooh.
If they had lost. Going from basketball to baseball, Tanner Bibee yesterday speaking to the press for the first time since receiving his reported five-year, $48 million extension with the Cleveland Guardians, being asked if the expectations for the Guardians' now opening day starter have been heightened with the extension.
I feel like the expectations don't really change. I feel like ever since I came into the league, and even last year, it's like to be one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. I kind of like think of it like microscope and telescope goals. Like, that's like something I can't do today. It has to be like a progressive thing, like one day at a time kind of a thing.
What are you looking for?
I'm wondering
out of me.
I wonder if you think the expectations are heightened now that he's the opening day starter.
No.
He's one of the top money men. No.
No.
I do think when you sign a new contract, man, look no further than the Travis Hafner saga. Like, the Guardians don't have a ton of money to spend. So when they sign anybody, look at Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne. You know, that's considered one of the biggest botch from a smart front office perspective that we look back now and say, man, that
how much is he getting per year right now?
$48 million.
Well,
it
gets up to 20.
Right, on the last year.
Yeah.
That's a team option. Alex Cobb got $15 million.
Right.
Yeah, that's not, it's not.
But still, for the Guardians, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because they can't sign a lot of these guys. They can't when they make a commitment to that kind of money, even though it's not in the same realm as what the Dodgers sign guys for, it's still to us, it's a big deal.
When you compare it on the scales, it's the same to them.
I think he's a number one pitcher for the Cleveland Guardians. That already has as much pressure as it is. $48 million, that is a drop in the bucket compared to some of the other contracts that you've had to think about doling out. And a lot of people just think they're going to run up his innings and run up his arm, and then by the time he gets to the end of it, they'll probably have to do a Shane Bieber thing to him, which is a very nasty way to look at it, but that's kind of what... That's what the baseball economics has done to part of the fan base.
I've already got a few friends that are expecting him to become a Cy Young based on the pattern of Kluber and Bieber becoming the opening day starters.
Careful when you say that.
Faulty logic. I agree with that. But that's the way they think.
I expected Tristan McKenzie to be an opening day starter once. He's opening day bullpen guy.
Yeah.
He's starting in the bullpen.
Yeah. He may start bullpen games in the future. About that.
Possibly. And finally, yesterday in the women's college tournament, a huge blow to USC's chances despite winning against Mississippi State. This is audio from ESPN.
Arifin on the switch, tied it up, took it away. More great defense from the Trojans, and Watkins goes down hard, and she's grabbing her right knee, quickly grimacing in pain.
One of the big names of the women's hoops game, Juju Watkins, officially out for the season with a torn ACL.
Would you want people to experience the pain if they missed it yesterday? Are you one of those that if you were in the control room for a network, you'd be showing the gruesome injury over and over again?
We're not showing anything on radio.
Have some compassion.
I wouldn't call it gruesome. It was a bad injury.
We need to know when she tore her ACL, the most horrific moment of her career.
It's a bad injury.
Mitch.
It's a bad injury. It sucks for college basketball. I think she's the next big thing. Hopefully she'll come back and she'll be all right, because that definitely dampens the chances. Anybody who had him in their bracket, Meredith.
Oh, no, that's right.
Not good.
And
Lindsey Gottlieb's going to have to coach him up,
former
man.
Former Cavaliers assistant. She might have a tougher job than Doug Gottlieb from here on out. Mitch.
I don't know if anybody has a tougher basketball job than Doug Gottlieb right now.
Well, he has to juggle the radio show, the interviews that he does, and, you know, coaching a basketball
team. It's funny, Deion Sanders is able to do it and go to bowl games.
He's one of the few.
Doug Gottlieb can't get, what, three wins? How many wins did they finish with this year?
Do we think Jaden Daniels' mom is responsible for some of this?
I saw that. What was the problem there? Can someone help me out?
They were talking, I think, courtside at one of the tournament games.
Jaden Daniels and Juju.
And, people believe there might have been some chemistry there. And what was it? Jaden Daniels' mom is like very protective.
I don't know. Next thing you know, they cut to them and the mom is in the middle of the two of them and they both look miserable. As if she just said, that's enough. We're gonna focus here.
Why wouldn't she let her son date in Juju?
He's still very young. I don't know.
He could do so much worse.
It's mother's intuition. That's all I can tell you.
Fair enough. I didn't tell you.
And that's Mitch's intuition.
Did I ever tell you guys that story about that? My mom? Apparently, she gave the cold shoulder to some ladies back in the day. Actually, Mitch just reminded me of something there. That's a good point. It's a damn good point. I'll tell you guys that maybe during the podcast or some other time. That is Cam Ward on NFL Network during his pro day. The Browns had Glenn Cook and a couple other people down there. The Tennessee Titans had everybody. Tennessee Titans had their whole brass, basically, the coach, they had their media team there, like the people who videotape, like the Browns, they have the videotape, stuff like that. They had their video people there, and it was seen like, all right, he's the number one pick, the draft starts at 2, and away we go. And because there wasn't many people there, it's like, all right, the Browns, maybe they won't move up, maybe they will, probably not, though. And it seems that when the draft starts at 2, so many people over the last week have now resign themselves isn't the thought, because Abdul Carter's a fine football player, but they have said that Abdul Carter is going to be the number one or the number two pick in the NFL draft, but really the number one pick in so many ways because the draft starts at number two. Either way, are you beginning to accept that Abdul Carter is going to be the pick at number two? Because I've had to start to change my opinion on this, but
no,
go right on ahead.
No, I haven't necessarily thought that. I don't know. Are there any tea leaves other than just that the consensus seems to be that Abdul Carter is the best player in the draft, even though we always know quarterbacks are still the best players in the draft, if they're even remotely comparable.
It's the tea leaves of the insiders, I think, that some people are talking about. And that, you know, Adam Schefter in the last month has really done a 180 of what he thinks the Browns are going to do. Before, it was almost a guarantee that the Browns were going to take a quarterback with the number two pick. And now in the last month, it went from I'm not so sure to it's really turning into the Browns are going to go in a different direction at number two other than quarterback. And if it's going to be in a different direction, is Abdul Carter the one that makes the most sense? He plays a prime impact position. He's there to be able to help Myles Garrett, to take pressure off of him. He's a fine football player. No, he's not Myles Garrett. He's not generational. Myles is a freak, but this guy's a really good football player. Would you be accepting of Abdul Carter as the number two pick? Is there an acceptance that the Browns are leaning towards Abdul Carter? And then would you accept Abdul Carter as the number two pick considering their quarterback needs, Anthony?
Yeah, I am not as high on Abdul Carter as certainly some. Some have made it out. The closer you get to the draft, the more they're making it seem like he's Myles Garrett 2.0. And I'm like, I don't see that. I see a guy who had a really productive season last year.
Are they trying to do that because he's going to be a new Cleveland Brown? You want to hype yourself up? You have to be a really good player. Or the draft just has to be that bad, and I think you're going to find people on either side of that. Mm-hmm. You got to be a really good player to be able to surpass the quarterback need.
Right.
Need's an ugly word. I get that, man. But, damn it, you really have to, considering where the Browns are at, where the quarterback position is on this football team, where the front office is, you got to be a hell of a football player. So now I think as we do get closer to the draft, you're going to be more annoyed by this because I think you're going to start to hear generational be thrown around a whole bunch more than it really should be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if they come away with Abdul at number two, I think, you know, we're then going to have to go along with what so many people have said after the combine, which is, well, Browns had at best a second round grade on Shador, right? And that doesn't, you know, we'll wonder if that disqualifies them from getting back into the end of the first round and getting Shador, or if they valued other quarterbacks more and they decided to do that with Jackson Dart or something like that. It'll cause some chaos for sure with the way that we think about this. It could also start the Shador Sanders backslide, right? Didn't you say there's another mock draft that has Shador going all the way down?
Kurt Benkert's a guy who I follow who's a pretty good quarterback mind. And he's a former quarterback in his own right. And he had his mock draft out. This was yesterday I saw. He had Shador falling to 32 and the Giants actually trading back into the first round. Now, our buddy John Kincaid out in Philadelphia was very quick to point out, like, hey, I don't think the Eagles are going to trade with the Giants so the Giants can get back into the first round and take their generational quarterback. But I told you that yesterday, and you had a very good point to say it, where you're like, hey, well, if you think the Giants are making a mistake, go ahead and you can get picks. Go right on ahead and make that trade. Because that kind of goes back to with the Bengals, where the Bengals have never been willing to make a trade with the Cleveland Browns and the history of their existence until it came down to the A.J. McCarron trade. That's what raised up all our red flags going, whoa, hold on here a second. How bad could this quarterback situation be? Didn't end up any good anyway, but I think that you have to take that into a little bit of consideration there. But it is interesting in so many ways where a guy like that, and I kind of go back down to it where if you have to talk yourself into it, okay, if you have to talk yourself into it, is it worth making that type of choice? Is it worth taking that choice? Because I think for a lot of Browns fans, I think that their ideas are starting to shift a little bit, going, man, you're hearing a lot of things about Shador Sanders that people don't like, and that he's not this guaranteed ace type of quarterback. And I think that they put that with their own timelines. If you take him and he ends up not being good, how likely is it that you go right back to the draft? Well, we'll see where that all ends up, but it's still not the most likely thing. If you don't take him and you take somebody else in the second, third, fourth round or whatever, and they're not very good and you're not very good, and you have to blow this front office out, well, here you are. You're naturally going to trust the next person more. You're naturally going to trust the next coaching staff more, and then you'll get excited about that draft picks that's coming up. I think that that's what's weighing on so many people's minds. And they think that Abdul Carter, hey, he'll be good with this team. He'll be good with the next iteration and the next. Hopefully there is no more iterations, but he'll be good this year, next year, and years to come.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, maybe this is a byproduct of what I do for a living and the type of conversations I get in about the Browns at this stage of my life. And everywhere I go, no matter what I do, I was down in Dayton, you know, last week getting questions about this. I think maybe part of the reason I want Shador so much, and this is, by the way, not why you would do it as a GM, but the reason that I'm interested in Shador is I got to be honest. Like, I think there's going to be apathy this year. Even if Abdul's really good, I just think it'll be considered, all right, wake me up when we get the quarterback. Like, we'll be back in fully invested. But if they take Shador, or really any quarterback that has a chance to start early, I think that reinvigorates some passion. I think that it's a quarterback. So it makes you and your buddies have heated conversations about the team that you just won't if they go and take Abdul Carter and you're like, yeah, I get to watch half the ball and get excited about that. But it's just you feel like you're on the outside looking in the NFL until you get a quarterback.
Do you subscribe to it then? Man, if they're not going to take a QB at number 2, we got a month until the draft. There's a lot of things that can happen. Do you subscribe to the whole, and gosh, I hate to reference because it turns into a word salad very quickly here, but do you go by the whole Mike Florio, Josina Anderson thing, that big things are possible in the North at the quarterback position? Like, is there still a move out there that none of us see us being able to be made, that they would still be willing to do that? Because I've just thought so many times, I go, gosh, you're going to leave your future in the hands of who? A quarterback that nobody's really excited about right now that is still out there on the heap, or a guy who you're going to draft, and if it's not Shador Sanders, then it's going to be a guy that you really have to talk yourself into over time, and you're going to have to wait and make sure that guy's ready to go.
Yeah, if you want to get really crazy, the only thing that I could think that would be crazy, but I don't know if it makes the Browns all that much better, is McCarthy. If that would be a shocker.
That'd be crazy.
But would I sit here and go Super Bowl, Super Browns on J.J. McCarthy? Coming off the injury, I wouldn't be.
It just would make no sense for them to trade him, especially after the decision they made with Sam Darnold. So it doesn't make any sense unless there's a move out there that people see that they could do that could fit where they're at cap-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not,
with some of these other QBs that are out there. I don't understand it.
What's the one that me and you are doing Super Bowl, Super Browns to? It's not Cousins, right? It's not Russell Wilson.
Well, they're a 3-win football team, so we might do it as a gag, but in earnest?
Yeah, I don't think there's a guy that I think our fan base is going to go nuts about.
216-474-0092. Do you accept that Abdul Carter is most likely the Browns pick at number 2? Do you think that that's a major mistake for the Cleveland Browns?